Luke chapter 17 today. Luke 17, beginning in verse 1. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke 17, verse 1. Then said he to the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe to him through whom they come. That's talking about temptations to sin, temptations to be led away from pure devotion to Jesus. It's going to happen. The world is fallen, is filled with things that lure us away from God. It's inevitable. But it doesn't get the people who do it off the hook. The girls who dress provocatively, strut around, you know, revealing themselves, they will answer to God for what they do. Doesn't get the men off the hook for lusting after them, but nevertheless, those who cause offense, lead people away from Jesus, will answer to God for that if they don't repent. 2, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he be cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. And the little ones isn't just talking about children. It's talking about believers who are influenced so easily. Perhaps young believers or Christians who haven't been Christians for very long. You cause somebody like that to lose their faith, you'd be better off suffering a horrible death, said Jesus. 3, take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespass against you, rebuke him. And if you repent, forgive him. If a Christian sins against another Christian, the one who has been offended should approach them. And in a spirit of meekness, reveal that they have been sinned against. Perhaps the person doing the sin didn't even know it. But either way, if he repents, he needs to be forgiven. Don't hold a grudge. 4, and if he trespass against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Don't limit the number of times that you forgive someone. God doesn't limit the number of times that he forgives us. 5, and the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. This was a hard thing for them to hear. They said, we need more faith to abide by that command, Jesus. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine tree, be you plucked up by the root and be you planted in the sea, and it should obey you. In other words, the amount of faith that you have isn't the issue. You either have faith or you don't. Either believe the word of God and you act on it, or you don't. You've heard the command from Jesus to forgive an infinite amount of times when one confesses. Then do it. If you believe Jesus, if you have faith in Jesus, then make the choice to do it. To sit back and say, I can't do it because I don't have enough faith, is just it's an excuse. Because the amount of faith is not an issue. Faith does not come measured in gallons or in bushel baskets or anything else or inches. It just is or it isn't. And you make a choice to live by faith and to obey the word of God. 7, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say to him by and by when he has come in from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say to him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward you shall eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. God doesn't owe us a pat on the back. And as for self-esteem, we should have none. And that's the truth. And I know that offends a lot of Christians today. because they're so used to listening to the counselors and the Christian psychologists who are teaching the doctrines of men. But it's true. You should not have self-esteem. When you have done everything that God has told you to do, Jesus said you are to say, I am just an unprofitable servant. I'm not worthy of anything. Jesus is worthy of complete and total obedience, and when I give him that, that doesn't make me anything special. It just means I've done my duty to the God of the universe. 11, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And leprosy, as you probably know, was an incurable disease. And it was a disease that caused one to be separated from society, including their family and loved ones and friends. So Jesus meets 10 lepers. 13, and lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They're pleading for healing. 14, and when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. As they obeyed the word of God, they were cleansed of their leprosy on the way. Obedience to the word of God brings blessing. Obedience to the word of God will bring on you whatever blessing Jesus wants you to have. 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Only 1 out of 10. He was thankful. And notice 16, he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was the one that most people would say would be least likely to give thanks to God or appreciate the Lord. 17, and Jesus answering said, where there are not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And it bothered Jesus that they didn't say thank you, but they didn't appreciate it. They just went on their merry way as if they had deserved it, as if Jesus was a genie let out of a bottle who had to grant them their wishes and didn't deserve a thank you or any kind of appreciation at all. Does God get you through hard times? And then do you show him contempt by not saying thank you and not living for him? That's the same thing. If you find yourself in that situation, confess your sin and get back on track with God immediately. Tell him that you are sorry for your indifference, for your lack of thankfulness, for your lack of devotion out of a love and appreciation for what he has done for you. Tell him you're sorry. Repent and start over. It's never too late. But until you do that, he's not pleased. 19, and he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. They all had faith to be healed. But it seems as if this man's faith saved his soul as well, because it made him whole, made him well in every respect. 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, or when he was questioned by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. In other words, there's not going to be a bunch of pomp and ceremony. If you're looking for it in that way, well, then you're going to miss it. Jesus says in 21, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. In other words, it's within the souls of those who repent and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They enter into the mystical kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom of God, and the King lives inside of them. That's the way it works today. If you're a Christian, having received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you're in the kingdom of God. 22. And he said to the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. Right now they're having a good time with Jesus because he's there in person, but it won't be long. And he won't be there physically, and they're going to wish for the good old days. 23, and they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. I mean, any Christian who truly is a Christian loves Jesus and longs to see him. Especially when they're going through hard times, man. They want Jesus to be with them there physically. When the pressure is on for whatever reason, they want Jesus to be there physically. And they long for those days. And it's very tempting when somebody might say, oh, Jesus is in some cave in Africa. He's arrived. He's returned. To believe that kind of nonsense. But Jesus says, don't believe it. And he tells us why in 24, for as the lightning that lightens out of the one part of the heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. In other words, when he returns, it's not going to be a secret. No one will have to tell you that Jesus is here. You'll know he's here. Always remember that. 25, but first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. So before he returns in his glory, when anyone will see, everyone will see him, he's going to be crucified. But speaking of his second coming, 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Everybody was going about their business. Nothing wrong with eating and drinking and marrying. Normal activities. But when you are so consumed with the things of this world that you give no thought for Jesus Christ, then he's going to come as a thief and you're going to be sent to hell for neglecting the Savior, for neglecting your soul. Another example, verse 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. They weren't ready. They weren't looking. And the people that Lot told about the judgment of God, tried to warn them, they laughed at him. They didn't believe him. Verse 30, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So that's what I was talking about. It's going to be the same thing. Nothing ever changes. When Jesus returns in judgment, most people will not be looking for him and will just give no thought to him at all. And they're going to be blindsided by his return and blindsided by judgment day as well. 31, in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. In other words, you're not going to have time to do anything. I mean, if you know that Jesus is returning, you better get down on your knees immediately and disregard everything else in your life and just focus on repenting and getting right with Jesus. 32, remember Lot's wife. You know, the problem with Lot's wife was she was almost forced out of Sodom by the angels, but she still loved that place. She still loved her old sinful lifestyle, which is why she turned back. And she was judged immediately. And, you know, it's what's in a person's heart that causes them to do what they do. So if you don't have a heart for repentance, you may appear to change outwardly, but when push comes to shove, you're going to long for this world, and you're going to long for sin, you're going to turn back in your heart, and you're going to be lost. You need a change of heart. You say, I want a change of heart. Well, If you want to change your heart, you're halfway there. Or just pray to God then, and he'll certainly answer that. 33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. In other words, if you seek to persevere in your old sinful behavior, old sinful lifestyle, then you're going to lose your soul. 34, I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, and the other left. So on the day that Jesus returns, it's going to be daytime, some places, nighttime, other places. But it doesn't matter. Those who are ready will be blessed. Those who are not ready, because they haven't received Jesus Christ, will be taken away. And the disciples want to know where that is. 37, they answered and said to him, "Where, Lord? Where are those people who are going to be taken away?" He said to them, "Wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles or the vultures be gathered together." The place of judgment. If you have a field full of dead bodies, the vultures will be feasting on them, on the carcasses, on the corpses. And so if you're not ready when Jesus returns, then you're going to be taken away to judgment, to punishment.